The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, it feels so good, doesn't it? It's 11 p.m. on the West Coast. No. I will never do this right ever. It's 11 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8 p.m. on the West Coast, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia, and 10 p.m. Central Time, where I'm sitting here in Northeast Minneapolis. Welcome to another edition of Jim Peters at Night. I am Jim Peters. This is episode number 90, believe it or not. And Six months, we plowed through 90 of these things. Hope you guys had a nice weekend. We have our month in review panel, which we do the last Monday of every month here. Now, the panel tonight's a little different. Usually, it's Tim Conaway, Don Zorro, and Larry Newman. Neither Larry nor Don could make it tonight. Tim's here, but we have Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from RedState.com. And here's the really cool thing. She was just at CPAC. So she's going to give us a firsthand account of what it was like there. So we're happy as hell to have her. Also, Tim has suspended his presidential campaign. We're going to ask him about that in a second, too. So we're off for the rest of the week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we normally do shows. Not this week. We're coming back next Monday, March 5th. It's going to be Monologue Monday because we're going to be gone a whole week. I will have an hour and a half of stuff to yak about, and I will. I can't stop collecting the news, even though we're not doing this. I just can't. So we'll have plenty of stuff to talk about next Monday, that's for damn sure. We encourage you to call in. Now, we still take webcam phone calls here, video phone calls, and we were the first, apparently, supposedly, the first talk show in America to do this. We still take them, but when we got a lot of people on the screen, I kind of don't want to. If you want to call up with your camera, you go down here to jimandnight.com. /call, or you can just go to the homepage and click on call in on the menu. And there's a big blue button at the top of the screen. You push that. Tonight, I would prefer that you use audio to call in, regular auto call. That's in the middle here. Number is 563-999-3435. And I got a little screen over here. I can tell you when you're calling. Now, I got to preface this too. If you're blocking your phone number, I won't take your phone call. We've had too many people who have been blocking phone calls, blocking their numbers, calling in and basically trolling us. And that's, you know, I'm glad you think that's funny. I got better things to do. So if your phone number does not show up because you've been blocking it, I will not take your phone call. I'm just telling you right now. So there's that too. And you can also text us in real time, this number right here, 408-458-5088. Matter of fact, that's great. If you have a question for the panel, text it in. I'm monitoring the text in real time. Also a monitor here off to my right. Now, if you're on like Rumble or YouTube and all the rest of the channels where they have their own chat rooms, no, I'm not looking at those. I'm not. I know that a lot of people do. We got seven of them. I'm not going to monitor them. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to. If you want my attention, and you want to participate, text in 458-5088. So our show is brought to you by Conk News. And here's their front page. We a little bit of a bug here. Sorry about this. There we go. Okay, there's the front page of Conk News. So, and also you'll notice, and this just happened in the last few hours, that supposedly Donald Trump Jr.'s home, he was sent a package with white powder in it, and he's also receiving death threats, apparently. Excuse me, that's at the top here where it's a story developing. And that is from, that's actually from 100% fed up. And the reason I can tell you that is because of the tiny little logo at the bottom of that story. Now, Caught News is a news aggregator. They take stories from 75 different news sources every 3 hours and combine them in chronological order. Can I talk? It's like a fucking talk show. What the hell? What's going on here? You gotta talk, Jim. You gotta talk. Okay. And they compile them in chronological order and then put them on the front page. So this all changes more or less every 3 hours, but you get a fantastic overview of the news. All these photos are from the stories that they're actually linked. The headlines are original. They don't rewrite them, and there's no interstitial pages. You click on a headline or a photo, and you go directly to that story. It's a news junkie's delight. Trust me on this. It's at conk.com, completely free. Conk News at conk.com, conk.com. Very good. Okay, so I'm going to play the 12-second bumper, and we're going to put Jennifer Oliver O'Connell and Tim Conaway on the screen for your viewing enjoyment. Here we go. Hey, are we all here?
Gang's all here.
Hey, good to see you, Jennifer.
Good to see you, Tim. It's been a minute.
Yeah. What, Tim? What?
I said it's good to see you.
Yeah.
Do I sound like I'm in the echo room again, the completely tiled room? I've got the entire state of Minnesota behind me.
Oh, you do? That's right. Yeah. I know. They're backing you. Yeah, literally and figuratively. Hey, Tim, do you want to very quickly talk about, you suspended your campaign this weekend? What happened?
Well, it's not one thing. It's a whole train wreck of things. A whole bunch of different stuff. Technical problems with my website. Delays that caused me. I wanted to, be able to get donations. And when I got set up to do that, I had technical issues with the website, the security issues. And by the time I got those fixed, I kind of lost my place in line. And, I'm doing this by myself, so the amount of money that a guy like me has to do this is close to zero. And just a few other things that happened, and it's getting late in the game, so I decided to that I can't make a serious run at this point, so I decided just to shut it down.
Your life wasn't threatened at all, was it?
Well, I mean, every time you leave the house.
Yeah.
Serious danger,
yeah.
But
and I know I actually know the answer to that question, because if your life was threatened, you'd just kick somebody's ass. I know
yeah,
you.
Well, that's it. That would make the day a lot more exciting than going to Walmart, getting a shingles vaccine at Sam's Club. So that might be the threatening thing. So far, just a little bit of pain.
Well, we're glad you're here, and we're glad you're still alive. And yeah, well. That's the way those things go,
Yeah. No big deal. I mean, my life has taken drastic turns many, many times, and you just roll with it and keep on going.
Yeah. Now, a sandwich in between us is Jennifer Oliver, and she was just got home. Are you at home right now, Jennifer?
I am at home, yeah.
Yeah. So you were at CPAC, huh?
I was.
I read all the stories you submitted from there. But tell us, what was it like?
It's always fun going to CPAC just for, to see the curious characters and see who's on media row and what they're talking about. And, that to me, that is what makes up the conference and why people continue to go, is to kind of network and be with like-minded people. And definitely the draw was former President Donald Trump.
Hold it, Jennifer. Somebody actually asked me to ask you this today. Exactly how many people come to this thing? Is it thousands?
It's in the thousands, yeah.
It is.
I have no idea what the number was this year. I didn't, look to see what the reported number was. just from feel. It was, say, for Trump's speech, it was definitely a lower attendance than I've seen in previous years. It started off kind of on a slow burn.
Uh-huh.
The main hall was always half empty or three quarters full. Filled up a little bit more on Friday, and then Trump was standing room only.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you had a lot of good things to write about Byron Donalds, and that he was pretty impressive.
Byron Donalds was always impressive. Watched him from, the beginning of his first congressional run and, just an impressive constitutional, principled individual. And according to the people in Florida, a great representative who they would hate to lose should if Trump chooses to tap him for VP. But, his speeches are always impressive, but this one in particular just had a very executive office feel to it.
Uh-huh.
It was laying out policy. It was pointing out, constitutional merits and setting a vision and an agenda that someone either running for office or who planned to be number two would talk about.
So do you think he will be picked? Because I have a theory here.
I'm just saying at this point that he is at the very top of the list. Like if there are five, he's at the top.
Tim, you have any thoughts on this?
Well, based on Jennifer's comments there, that if he was speaking that way, as if he wants to be picked. You don't, come up and talk in that fashion. If you want to be considered for it, then, that's the way you approach things. So I think he's making his bid. And nobody knows what Trump will actually do, who will actually pick, on the merits of that speech, what the guy was saying, the fact that he was prepared in that way to put himself in that position, in that light, doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to win over the Donald, because there's no telling how he makes choices.
Well, I'm gonna kind of revise my prediction based on kind of what Jennifer said. I've been saying for a long time I think it's going to be Tim Scott, and my primary logic for that is that Tim Scott is actually in Congress, and I think like with Mike Pence, I think Trump needs a liaison of people who really knows what's going on currently in Congress. But so is Brian Donalds.
Right.
He is too. So I mean, and so what am I thinking? So I think it's going to be either one or the other. It's like so I'm hedging because I do that. I'm a hedger.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, Trump is serious about courting this black vote that is looking his way because Biden's such an idiot, and they realize, wow, we did way better when Trump was in office.
But
we weren't so poor.
Jennifer, are you saying that Mike Pence isn't black?
Yeah,
I just amused myself.
You look up white in the dictionary.
Right, I know you do. He's there. All that pasty white skin—it's just awful. Oh God. Okay. Well, I got a bunch of stories here, and I've tailored this specifically to the two of you because the two of you are both longstanding journalists. So the first thing I want to discuss here, I'm sure you both probably heard about this. So CBS laid off 1% of their staff, which they laid off 20 people out of 2,000. This is CBS News. Excuse me, I should say it. CBS News. The CBS Inc. television, they laid off a shitload of people too. CBS News laid off 20 people, and one of them was Catherine Herridge, and she is really, honestly, one of the premier journalists in America. I mean, this woman she's serious, she's relatively unbiased, she does her, she's great at coming up with information. I mean, she's a star, and, she might not be known to the public, but in the business, she's a star. So they laid her off. Okay, fine. First of all, I don't know why you'd lay off her. I mean, it's probably... There's probably 1,500 people on the staff who are less experienced than her. But, okay, they laid off her. But the other thing they did, which has never been done before, is CBS confiscated her files and notes. Jennifer Redstate has been reporting just in the last few hours. I can't remember if it was a Nicarama or somebody there said that they have given that stuff back to her, apparently, now.
Yes,
you know,
they have. They have. And I haven't quite read what Catherine's statement was. She posted it on X. But, yeah, they gave everything back. You know, no details on whether the files were encrypted or anything like that.
Well, that doesn't, but that doesn't mean they didn't copy them and or read them, you know?
Again, we don't know.
No.
We just know, thanks to pressure, SAG-AFTRA apparently got involved.
Yeah, SAG-AFTRA, when the people don't know, that's the actors' unions.
Right.
Television, it really has nothing to do with news per se. I mean, I know that if you're, you know.
No, it's broadcasting.
Yes, broadcasting,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
The AFTRA part brings in, you know, people like television newscasters and TV
hosts.
Yeah. So, but first of all, this was completely unprecedented. Now, Tim, you've been involved in both television and magazine and editorial for a zillion fucking years. I mean, this is not good, is it?
Well, you know, I've been in that awkward position of having to let people go, usually because, you know, we cut the magazine out of circulation.
Yeah.
We dropped the magazine or we had performance issues or whatever. So,
but I'm guessing you've never asked for reporter's files, have you?
Well, anything that would be accumulated while the person works as an employee would technically be the property of the employer.
No, I understand that, right.
So, I mean, I can see how they could go ahead and say that. No, I've never done that. But then I worked on, you know, magazines mainly, and the stories were written by freelancers. So the people who worked on staff, if they had notes or anything like that, they'd already been used. One thing that was attempted while I was working at a company where I ran the day-to-day operation, editorial operation, 36 magazines, and you know, the people were coming and going all the time, and they wanted to take the person's Rolodex. Okay, that tells you how old I am. Rolodex, but, you know, and the arguments that I already knew, having moved around in the business a little bit, is Rolodex, which, for those who don't know, is a list of contacts and their telephone numbers.
That you wrote down by hand on a card.
Yeah, on a card, and, it, you know, you roll the thing around. But that's considered tools of the trade. And that's often the reason you get hired as an editor is because of the contacts that you have.
Oh, as a reporter too, for that matter.
Well, yeah. And so that doesn't belong to the company. That belongs to you.
Yeah.
And even if you acquire new contacts during the course of your employment, that's your tools of the trade. That's just like
right.
A plumber. You hire a plumber and you say you need to bring your own tools to the job. When the job is done, you can't say, okay, now I own all the tools. So, but this other thing of the notes, I really have never heard of that before.
Yeah, and Jennifer, I mean, Tim does have a point. I mean, he's right that technically that stuff does belong to the company, but always previously as a courtesy, reporters have always been able to take it. This is the first time anybody's ever remembered that the company's actually asked for or took this stuff, you know? Mm-hmm.
She was onto something in reporting about, you know, the Biden White House and Hunter Biden. And I suspect that they were probably mining to see what more she had, because she was getting ready to break something open. And that's when they fired her.
Yeah. The theory that's going on, and I don't know if you guys wrote about this, Jennifer, or not, or I read this somewhere else. The theory is that Viacom wants to sell CBS. And
mm-hmm.
and Harridge is in a really good position to piss off the Biden administration, and They pulled her. They laid her off specifically because they don't want any bad press coming up with antitrust regarding this. That's the theory, you know. But I don't know.
That's a good theory.
Yeah.
Again, she was uncovering things about the Biden administration and Hunter Biden, and I don't think the president liked it, obviously. And we know that the media, the legacy media, is all in bed with the White House.
So. Yeah, and so, okay, you guys tell me, I'm just going to be straight out here. The president seems like a vindictive fucking bastard. I mean, you know, Trump...
He always has been, Jim.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he? Yeah.
From his days as a senator.
Right.
I mean, look at what he did to Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
He has always been really an ugly human being, a manipulative...
And you go back to that thing with Clarence Thomas, that's basically, as far as I can remember, correct me if I'm wrong, the first time the Democrats ever pulled this thing about finding this victim, you know, I mean, it's so plain, just like with Blasey Ford, it's so plainly obvious that was bullshit in retrospect. At the time, I mean, it wasn't, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you recall, it was first, not with the whole sexual aspect, but Robert Bork was his first target.
Oh, yeah, right.
Absolutely cutting someone off at the knees. And
yeah, that's true.
Creating this manufactured false atmosphere.
Right,
I mean,
right.
We have a term being Borked for what was done to Robert Bork.
Yeah.
So Joe Biden showed his true colors then, and he made himself look affable. I mean, this is what they do. They made themselves look affable and amenable, and same as with Kavanaugh. What was it, about 4 days before they were supposed to vote on confirmation, they decided to trot out Anita Hill.
Yeah.
You know, whose story was as paper thin as Blasey Ford's.
Right, right. And not only that, that wasn't even about, there was no actual, if I'm right, if I remember this correctly, there was no actual inference of any actual sexual activity. It's just that he was like talking nasty or something. I can't remember. I mean,
he would make supposedly sexual innuendos.
Yeah.
Left his pubic hairs on a Coke can,
that,
according to her.
So you're going to deny a guy a job after, like, you know, he's 60, what, he was like 50 years old then. I mean, shit, you know?
Yeah, well, the point is, she claims that there was this series of abuse, yet she kept going to work with him.
Yeah,
She actually followed him from one organization to another. So it's kind of like, okay, this person is sexually harassing you, but you're following them around.
Right, right.
You know, they made her the poster child, and she's gotten a great career off of it.
Gotten
who knows how much kickback money she got for, you know, playing that role.
Right.
But she's still considered this, you know, vaunted figure for you know, telling the truth about Clarence Thomas. And what a mess.
Jim has something to say, I can tell.
Yeah, but that, you know, Bork and then Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, I forgot about Bork. Yeah, I did. I forgot about that.
His character, he is.
Yeah, he's a nasty SOB. He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, well, we can say the same about Trump. He's a petty, vindictive man. We've got two of the worst personal specimens possible going for an office that is supposed to have the highest integrity, which is why it was a good time for a third-party person to come out. You know, most of the public doesn't want either one of them.
That's true.
But when it comes down to the polls, they're going to vote either Republican or Democrat.
Yeah.
Because they've been wired to do that, and because they don't have any other choice. You know, I'm hoping that Bobby Kennedy Jr. can mount some kind of realistic effort. He knows part of the right. You know, there's always this, well, you're taking votes away from Trump, but you're helping Biden. And, you know, the important thing is that if he positions himself correctly, which is what I had hoped to do, you position yourself as you're not taking votes away from either one of them. You're awarding the voters with a viable option that isn't one of these guys who's got a lot of clouds hanging over them.
You know, the Koch brothers are available, Tim. Maybe approach them for some of their...
I had actually thought about that. I'm a member of Americans for Prosperity, which is their organization. And, but see, that's the thing. I didn't want to get that kind of money.
Yeah.
I wanted to get small contributions. My maximum donation request was $20 from all the people who are dissatisfied with the two-party system, who are dissatisfied with the really lack of good options that we have, and all the people who don't vote because they say there's nobody to vote for. That's, kind of where I was going to go, and I wanted to avoid the Koch money or the... I had a list of all the rich guys that I would have talked to if I had gotten enough information that they were interested, but without, being purchased. It's too bad I don't have that super PAC.
Well, by inference now, you brought up Nikki Haley, which I actually was not on my list of things to talk about, but let's talk
I didn't
about
bring
it.
That, but,
I brought up the Koch brothers.
Why is she still in it?
Like a hot potato after something.
Yeah. Why is she still in it, Jennifer? Why? What's the point here?
Because I was speaking with our deputy managing editor at Redfit about this. She was gracious enough to drive me to Indiana, and then my husband came up from Alabama to Indiana to drive me home. So, Nikki, but first of all, it's like, how much do you sold? What was her 30 pieces of silver? I mean, seriously, it's obvious that she sold her soul.
Okay, all right.
Because otherwise, why would you sit up and embarrass yourself like
that? By the way, Jennifer, was she there? I don't actually even know.
No, she was not at CPAC.
Okay, all right, okay.
She was not at CPAC. Tim Scott was not at CPAC. Ron DeSantis was not at CPAC.
All right. Okay.
The people who are auditioning for VP who are on the short list were there. Christine Ohm was there. Elise Stefanik was there. Tulsi Gabbard was there. Those are people who – Vivek was there. Those are the people who are on the short list.
Okay. So now, people were saying she should have got out a long time ago, but I personally thought, you had to at least go through your home state, I mean, maybe you can pull someone off. People know you. She didn't. Now what's the point?
but again, why embarrass herself? She knew she was going to.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Yeah.
By 20 points, she lost by 40.
Yeah. But,
also, she had no one in her state endorsed her except someone who was her good friend who's been supporting her for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I endorsed Conaway, so, I'm just good.
Yeah. But I mean, save yourself the embarrassment as far as I'm concerned and don't go this route, but she's choosing to be embarrassed and to pretend, put on a great face and pretend this. So she's been bought. What was the price tag? Would be interesting to find out. We'll see what soft mattress she lands on once she does say, okay, I'm done with this.
And Tim, I got to ask you before you go on, because you know this. So am I right about this? That if your campaign's over, the candidate can keep whatever money's left? Is that true?
Yeah, there's a process that you go through to turn the money over, taxes are paid and that kind of stuff. But yeah, you can keep it. Well, the Koch, they endorsed her. They, were backing her, the Koch industry. The brothers, there's one of the brothers died a while back. So
that's her,
But the other one's still alive on Upload, if you've ever seen that on Prime Video. That's, where the money's coming from and where the impetus to keep going. They're saying keep going because they have openly said they don't want Trump.
Mm.
And so they want to keep pushing the idea that there could be somebody else. And that's why she hasn't bolted from the party like Robert Kennedy did. He's running as an independent. He's not trying
to... Well, she's being sponsored by a number of left-wing donors. BlackRock, for a minute, Reed Hastings of LinkedIn, but he dropped her too. But yeah, her money is not coming from the right. It's all coming from the left. And she's perfectly happy to mantle herself in that.
Yeah, and when it's done, the private sector is a good place to... If you have a name, you have that kind of recognition, you get a private sector job where you don't really have to do any work. You just show up.
Yeah.
You know, and that brings in whoever it is that the client that they're looking for. So I would take those kind of jobs, although my record in sales is, well, it wasn't too bad. I was a salesman.
You did okay.
Yeah, I survived.
Yeah. Okay, so if she quits, she gets to keep the money. How much are we talking about? Millions?
Billions.
How much?
Yeah.
What'd you
Definitely
say?
Definitely millions.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what her war chest is.
And the prevailing theory right now is that she's in it just in case Trump can't really finish. And the primary reasons he wouldn't do that are health and or being in jail, one or the other.
Yeah.
But some people kind of think that's kind of like, dancing around somebody's grave, too. I don't know. It's like, you know.
She's not liked. The GOP does not care for her anymore. And really, most everybody else doesn't either. The left, actual Democrat voters don't really trust her. People on the right and conservatives think she's a, warmonger. So,
well, she gets, this is probably like the understatement of the year, but she does kind of represent the old guard of the party now, doesn't she? I mean, and that's not really popular anymore. It's like,
she represents the, McCain, Bush, Romney wing of the party that nobody wants anymore, that they're slowly being weeded out. And, I made a joke. I'm sure we will jump to this subject about Ronna McDaniel. I made a joke that she'll go over to MSNBC with Michael Steele. Talk about how the GOP is racist, sexist, and
has. Yeah, well, you talk about somebody who sold their soul, Michael Steele. My God, what the hell is that about? I mean, Jesus Christ. I've got to talk for a second. I've had to temper my feelings about this because I think it might be different if you have children. If you have young children and, for example, you said this on the show several times. I've been told by several people that Nicole Wallace, who's on Afternoons on MSNBC, former press secretary for W. Bush, I think, one of them, I can't remember. Yeah. I've been told she doesn't believe a single thing that comes out of her mouth. She doesn't believe it at all. But she gets, they pay her $2 million and she has kids, And So I don't have kids, and so I can't imagine doing that. But I suppose if I wanted, people have to take care of their families first, and God bless her if that's what she's doing. I suppose that's fine. I couldn't do it. I don't know if Michael Steele has children. I have no idea. But seriously,
there are ways to take care of your children.
Yeah, there are, aren't there? I know. That's what I think too. But if you don't have children. I can categorically say it's bullshit. That's the thing. I mean, it makes it, if I just can't, I can't imagine doing it. I just can't, I mean, Steele's like a fucking traitor. I mean, he used,
Yeah. Well, when you look at some of these people who spent their lives in politics, not necessarily as the electee, but, in the campaigns, on the staff, in the sidelines, all those kind of things, they've never really worked. They've worked more than the senator or the congressman. They've done some kind of work. That falls apart. Their person isn't in anymore. They don't have that avenue for income. And somebody comes along and says, here, we're going to pay you to do this other thing, which also isn't work. I mean, most of the people that you see on camera don't write anything that they're saying. They're reading a teleprompter.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, you know, it's like Jennifer goes out and she interviews people and she does the research. She finds the information. She puts it all together in a form. She puts it on Red State. These people aren't doing that. They just read a teleprompter.
Yeah.
And so you say, I'm going to pay you this amount of money to read a teleprompter. Well, you've been in politics where most of what you're spewing is bullshit anyway. So it's not, to me, it's not a big leap for that. But this kind of takes us full circle back to Herridge, who, you know, Jim described her. The description he gave of her and of her work is that she's the kind of journalist that big media outlets don't want working for
anymore. Right.
Well,
right.
Yeah.
So, they're not interested in uncovering truth, breaking stories, holding the powerful accountable. That they have an interest in that.
Right.
They want to parrot talking points, promote propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own agenda going on, and that's what they want to spoon fed people.
Yeah, it doesn't fit with what their advertisers, what their sponsors are looking for. And so that, to me, that's the main reason she was gone. That explains the whole thing. It's like we're saying, hey, she was really good at her job, and mm-hmm. they're saying, oh, she's too good at her job.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
She thinks.
AI is taking over a lot, and that, you know, any staff writer probably got booted out because I can get it to AI. But in terms of, someone who actually breaks stories, and she probably had a nice salary at that. And
well,
they also
we need to talk about that, too, about the fact that I don't think the public realizes, you know, Tim, you were talking about people on camera reading the teleprompter. I don't think the public realizes how much these people actually get paid. I just found this out last week. Wolf Blitzer on CNN. Wolf Blitzer, Mr. No Personality, gets paid $15 million a year. Nobody watches CNN to watch Wolf Blitzer. No one. I mean, if you get rid of this guy in like 5 fucking seconds and nothing would happen. The ratings would not change. $15 million? I mean, that's crazy shit. I mean, you know.
He's an institution, though. Remember?
Yeah, I understand. Right. No, even they pay Anderson Cooper $20, and even, although I think that's ridiculously high, I can somewhat see the justification there. But it's like, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I have no idea how much Michael Steele's getting paid, but it's at least $1 million a year, probably 2 or 3, you know.
Probably. But the thing is, the writers back in the writers' room are making $20,000.
That's right, they are. I know. I know you're right.
I don't know what it is.
And then they got rid of them and replaced them by, you know, they're slowly being replaced by AI anyway. So.
Well, and what they do is they take press releases from whoever, and they just publish them without anything. You know, when I was a reporter, we loved to get press releases because we could fill up some space in the newspaper, but we rewrote the stuff.
Right.
Sometimes we actually made phone calls and verified some things or whatever. But now I read stuff and it's just like, this is the way it came in from whoever sent it in. You know, with nobody even looked at it. They just set this in type, however that's done, scan this and, you know, put it on page 6.
You're right, Tim.
With no quality whatsoever. I'm not sure if you saw it. I can't remember which outlet it was, but they talked about some baseball league introduced its first amphibious pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the editor?
And there aren't copy editors anymore anyway.
Well,
somebody
handing
in stories. I mean, I read stuff that it's so sadly comical. It's like my granddaughter says, you know, you just, Papa, just read it ironically. It's hard for me to do that. You know, oh, we've got an amphibious picture. And nobody catches it. And I bet half the readers look at it and think, oh, they've got an amphibious picture.
Yeah.
And now half the readers are saying, what's amphibious?
Well, Jennifer, at 26, you're not old enough to know about this, but Tim knows what I was talking to somebody on the phone a few days ago. 40 years ago, you could go through an edition of the New York Times and you'd be lucky if you found one typo in the whole paper. That, you know,
right.
Now it's like the grammar sucks, the spelling sucks. Everyone lets this stuff go. Nobody cares. I don't know what to make of it. It's like,
because
you know.
When I was working for a big publishing company, the publisher who came from the circulation side where you count the number of copies that are sold 3 months after they come off the stand. Why do we need copy editors? You should get this computer stuff. You've got all this computer stuff because I installed a computer network, a network of Macintoshes. It was one of the first in the country. And doesn't the computer check all that? And I says, well, the computer can tell you if FROM is spelled correctly or FORM or FROM is spelled correctly, but it can't tell you which is the right word.
Right, that's
so
right.
It's a little bit more advanced than that. It'll underline it, but if there's nobody to look at the underline, you're not going to know. I said there's more to it than whether everything's spelled correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys just opened the door here. I was going to go on to Rhonda McDaniel, but let's go on to AI. So this Google Gemini thing, you know, about with these images. All right. This is really interesting, though. David Strom wrote an article on Hot Air, and he kind of said what I was thinking in much better terms, and that is, this is not an error. You know, Google said, we kind of screwed up. You know, we're really sorry. We're going to go back. We're going to fix this. He's right. This wasn't testing for at least a year. What happened is that all those 28-year-old programmers and testers, they thought this was entirely normal. That's the reason it got through. I mean, and this is it really says something about a generation of people. This is disgusting. It's really disgusting. You know, George Washington was not black, you know, but I don't know if you guys have seen some of the tests they've run through this. I mean, like one was somebody said, write a poem in the voice of Rachel Maddow and write a poem in the voice of Laura Ingraham, and it wrote the Maddow poem, but it came back for Laura Ingraham and said, I'm sorry, I can't do this. This would be discriminatory and harmful. It's like, and also, just to think, what the fuck is with the harmful? It's like, you know, they're words. They're not going to kill anybody, you know?
We have gotten to the point where they think words are violent.
Yes.
that any criticism that does not fall into the orthodoxy is hate speech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's
and it's like, no, you're just wrong.
Yeah.
there are facts and there are your feelings.
Jennifer, my brain is going to blow up. It's like, this is just bullshit. I can't. You, the old geezer on the other side of the screen, say something.
I was just thinking that when I was running this one plant and the people there didn't like me. They had been getting away with not doing anything in it, and they were only at like 50% delivery level. And I was transferred there because I had taken another plant from, 55% up to the 90s. And so I came in and I was, making everybody do the work and do the work the right way and that kind of stuff. Well, every one of them was calling HR back at headquarters, the corporate headquarters, we didn't have an HR person on site complaining about me. And so, the director of operations talking to me about it, and I said, look, you guys want me to get this stuff done. And I said, two, when they're complaining about me, I'm not there to tell you what they're saying is true or even more importantly, what they aren't saying, like what I actually told them to do. And he said, well, their truth is your reality. And I said, well, when does my truth become their reality? You put me in charge.
Yeah, really?
That's what this comes to, is like, their truth is your reality. And I thought, man, that's, I would get that tattooed on me.
So now you have a whole corporation that's trying to make their truth our reality, you know?
And there are different versions of truth.
Yeah.
So this is, why do you think you have all that confusion? Because everybody's trying to make their truth your reality, and, you know, you're not going to be torn and fuzzing in different directions.
And I'm sorry, I mean, you know, I don't know how many gallons of ink they could have made in the time that they were complaining about me trying to make them make ink. So there wasn't any less work, so to speak. It was just, you know, they've gone from a comfortable situation and a lot more stuff going on to, you know, somebody expecting them to get out.
Whoops.
All the orders that we had to get out of it. And, you know, why should we have to do that? I will also say this was in California, so that was about trying to do anything in California.
Yeah, well, so she fits.
I'm talked out. I'm pissed off, but, you know, I don't know. Strom seems to think this is going to permanently hurt Google's reputation. I think it might. I mean,
I hope so.
Yeah, so do I. I do too. I've already started avoiding using their products. I mean, well before this even, you know.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah, I try to use them as little as possible. You know.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's hard to get away from it.
Because they're products that work. I mean,
yeah.
We're so collaborating
right.
on Google Drive and the whole nine thing. And so.
It's like,
no way of completely getting away from it, but in terms of, you know, my major email and all that stuff, I've been way away from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and trying to get away, it's just like trying to get away from, you know, boycott Chinese products made in China. Mm. Well, unfortunately, 80% of what we buy is made in, you know, China or one of their satellites, you know, Vietnam or someplace. So it's like, well, if I could do without 80% of the, you know, just the small items that I need on a day-to-day basis, I would do that. But it's just kind of tough when they, when we sent all of our manufacturing over to Asia to save money, and now it's like, oh, well, we don't want them to do that anymore. Well, who started
that?
Yeah. You know, Cyrus Eaton and all these other guys started that. Long, long time ago, back in the 60s. And now it's like you can't boycott Chinese products.
Yeah.
You can't boycott stuff made in Malaysia or Thailand or Vietnam.
This has nothing to do with anything, but I don't know if you guys, this is like one of these science things that kind of made the back of the news about the fact that a couple of weeks ago, a bunch of researchers, and I can't remember where they are, they have invented a lithium battery that doesn't use lithium. It uses water, plain ordinary. It isn't even heavy water or deuterium or any of that, plain ordinary water. And they think, you know, they got to ramp this up, but they got the thing working already. And they think in 5 to 10 years, it'll completely replace lithium batteries. And right now we get most of our lithium from China. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Although unfortunately Norway is going to mine like a 100-mile stretch off their coast of underwater stuff for lithium, which would completely ruin the ecosystem there to get this, instead of putting that money into the research and development of these other things. I've read in the past months at least three different projects in which they found some simple elements that they can manipulate to mimic what lithium does in batteries. And but, you know, we're not going to see that development because all of the big money is producing this other stuff and depends on this other stuff, the Biovax and Energizers, whoever owns all those companies. It's like, man, they've got it all invested in this other stuff. They would be cutting their own throats to, you know, do this other stuff. They'll wait until they run out of lithium, just like they're going to wait until they run out of petroleum before we actually switch over to some other means.
Yeah, so it's up from what I understand, the estimates of how much petroleum are still mineable on the planet are way, way low. I mean, there are people who think that even at the amount we're using now, we could go thousands of years. You know, so I don't know.
Well, we could go for a very long time. Yeah, I know that, and that's what we do. I remember as a kid, and once again, who's the old man here? See, across the street from my backyard were two railroads, and each with two tracks, stuff running east and west and north, and running along the Ohio River at an angle. And the old steam locomotives pulled everything. And then, you know, one day my dad heard something and said, come here, come here with me. We went out to the fence and a diesel locomotive came by, first time we ever seen one. And he said, you know, this is going to change everything. You know, this is what they're going to be using. So, you know, I watched and I kept saying the steam locomotives and occasionally a diesel. And I said, well, Dad, you know, they're still using the steam locomotives. He said, oh, well, until all of these things break down, they'll keep using it. And, you know, that's the way in any industry is until they're forced to make that change, they're not going to. Some industries, some innovators every now and then will jump ahead on the new technology, but that's very rare. And then those who do, they become the kingpins, and they maintain the status quo for a long time.
Yeah. This is not the same thing what you're talking about, but it's kind of similar. My wife's sister is a fairly famous scientist. She came up with, she has the patent on corn sold to farmers and has pesticide naturally built into it. I don't know if you guys know about this, but and that was being done for years, but the corn was always sterile, and she came up with the process of actually making the corn being able to reproduce. Anyway, she made a shitload of money. She just retired. She's basically spent most of her career flying around the world giving speeches. It's great. Good for her. So I'm visiting her in North Carolina. Her and I are going for a walk, and I'm talking to her, and I said, well, Catherine, can you explain to me, from what I understand, ethanol, it takes more energy to make ethanol than it outputs. And I said, is that true? And she said, well, yes, it actually is. And I said, well, then why are we doing it? And this is the interesting part, guys. She said, well, here's why we're doing this. She said, yes, it's complete bullshit right now. But she said, when we come up with the next thing that actually does work, the infrastructure to distribute it will already be in place. So her answer was essentially political, which I found really interesting, you know, but she did say, no, from a purely scientific point, it's bullshit. I thought that was really kind of interesting.
I mean, this may be a bit of a detour, but if you look at what's going on in the food space now.
Food?
The food space.
Yeah.
Our food, our supply chain. Or our dietary restrictions, requirements, whatever you want to call them, they are pushing synthetic meats, and they are pushing, you know, eat the bugs.
Yeah.
And that structure was built in when they started this whole, you know, first of all, the pyramid and then my plate and this emphasis on grains. It's like they already set it in place with that, knowing that it was total BS, as you said, and there are scientists and doctors out who are showing how much BS it was and how it's actually killing people. I mean, we have a society that, you know, half of us are obese and metabolically sick, yet we've been following this food pyramid for the past 50 years. So that they built that structure intentionally to insert all of this synthetic meat, and you know, it's a form of control.
Yeah, I never thought of that, Jennifer. I never thought about the analogy there, but you're right. That's absolutely true. And also, have either one of you had any of this processed bullshit meat?
God, no.
Oh, I have, and I'll tell you, it doesn't taste bad. It doesn't taste like beef, though. Not at all. It's just, I mean, you're crazy if you think that tastes like meat. I mean, I'm not going to eat it. You know, the guys, the little kids in South Park, what Stan says to his dad, all my life they've been telling me to avoid processed food, and now they're pushing processed food.
Exactly.
You know, it's terrible. Oh, my God. Well, yeah,
but it's part of a process. I mean, it's cheaper to grow corn than it is to raise beef. It takes up, you know, through the amount of food that you can get out of it, or the amount of, you know, whatever, big globs of stuff. It's easier. It's, you know, it's a whole different world. And you know, at some point, I don't know that we're ever going to run out of beef, out of steers or whatever, but it's for the ConAgras and the Carvels and, you know, these giant food conglomerates, it's a lot easier to grow this stuff and manage this stuff than it is to actually raise animals.
Yeah.
It is and it isn't. Now that I live in a land, well, I mean, California used to be an agriculture giant, and they just have been killing them off quickly. But Alabama, half of it is agriculture, and they're very protective of those agricultural concerns that have been in families for generations. And it's not all that difficult to understand how to manage land and manage cows and do it efficiently.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for a millennia. Farmers.
So will you guys tell me?
Thousands of years, and there's never been a problem.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. And now, all of a sudden, the lefties who are trying to make their truth my truth are trying to say that farming's bad. I mean, what? This is crazy shit. I mean, in Norway, you go over, the farmers are rebelling. In Denmark, they're literally trying to put farming out of business. Well, where the fuck do you think you get your food? I mean,
but that's what I mean by they created these supposed food pyramids and FDA regulations and blah 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 in order to farm people into the structure of, well, here's this manufactured beef, here's this cricket burger, go for it, you know.
Yeah, and that's, you know, what I meant was, it's easier for these big conglomerates.
Right, exactly. It's easier for them because they want to take control of the food supply.
You know, it's the same reason they plant their, you know, non-reproducing plants upwind, downwind. I never get that straight. Of the heritage seed farmers, because it gets in there and it takes over the plants, and it makes their heritage seeds worthless. And two, they can say, oh, those crops belong to us because that was our seed.
Yeah.
So it's part of a larger thing. This is a conspiracy, Jim. It doesn't involve the little tiny men and round flying objects.
It's happening right in front of people's faces.
Yeah.
Really, there's no
conspiracy. They've gotten totally brazen at this point.
They don't care. They're letting you know what.
I tell you what, folks, we're going to end on this here. This was the kicker, and it's amazing how we came around to this, and that is, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but Starbucks has introduced a new pork-flavored latte.
Ew.
I know. What the hell?
I don't do anything.
No, no, I'm not. No, I know. I love bacon. I'm still not going to do that.
No.
Somehow.
Hey, guys, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. Jennifer, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, good to see you, Jennifer.
And I'm
glad you're settling into Alabama. I was down there in September. Beautiful country and really nice people.
Very much so. Yeah.
We are
blessed.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I think we're all blessed. So I don't know. I'll say that. We'll do that. Yeah, you folks, you have a nice weekend or a week. I'm taking the rest of the week off. So,
well, enjoy your time off.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's the next show.
Mostly work, but what the heck, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I like this is work, you know, like, yeah, am I getting paid $15 million? No, I'm not. Hey, thanks, guys. I'll see you soon. Okay. You guys take care.
Sure.
All right. Bye bye. That's Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. She writes for redstate.com and her own Substack feed, asthegirlturns.com. And that's Jim Conaway, former, as you heard, candidate for president. Jim edited, as you heard in the discussion, he was editor of a million different magazines during his 40-year career in journalism. Most notably, and I put this in the show description, he was the editor of Hustler magazine. For 15 years, basically at the height of its popularity in the 1980s and 90s, that was him. So, yeah, that was very cool. Nice to talk to those guys. Yeah, so, yeah, I am taking the rest of the week off, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't do Fridays here at all. So I got a couple things, you know, during the, this is what we call the C block, and I have a few science and paranormal-related items that I always like to talk about in this. The first thing we talked about in the during the discussion, and that is the water batteries. Yeah, this is going to be interesting, although I just thought of this while we were doing the discussion. I didn't want to interrupt Tim, but, you know, people bitching up about the lithium batteries freezing over. Here in northern Minnesota, we're not in northern Minnesota, what I'm talking about. We're in southern Minnesota, but Minnesota is pretty much kind of like the icebox of the nation. And so this is like the last place where you want an electric car. Now, that said, there are quite a few of them in Minneapolis. I mean, we're the 15th largest city in America. And yeah, you see Teslas all over the place. But the fact is, in cold weather, batteries don't do very well. And they never have. Battery technology at this point is still relatively primitive. It is. It's like, you know, I don't know if you know this. Your average Tesla is stuffed full of the lithium batteries, little ones. There's not one big battery. No. Teslas are stuffed all over the place with tiny little batteries that are wired in sequence. So, and it's not good here in the frozen tundra. It just doesn't work. Now, you know, I'm getting off the point here, but I thought you'd want to know, we set a record today for high temperature. It was 65 on February 26th. We have not had winter here for this year. Yeah, then don't tell me about the global warming. Don't. That's bullshit. It's weather, you know, okay? Yeah, we have had, this is going to end up being the warmest winter on record. We've had virtually no snow the entire time. It snowed a couple of weeks ago. We got 6 inches. It disappeared in a week. It was 65 today. They're thinking on Sunday it's going to hit 70, and if it does, that's going to be the earliest 70 we've ever hit here ever. So this is not a typical winter, but generally, especially in January, and we usually have about 3 days in mid-January here in Minnesota where the temperature drops below 20 below. Not 20 degrees, 20 below. And this is the point where you don't leave the house. Now, I own two Italian cars, and it actually says in the manual, the car will not start if it's 22, if it's colder than 22 degrees below zero. And that actually happens here. So, you know, anyway, so lithium batteries, what I was thinking is that if they're actually water, well, shit, they're going to freeze. It's like, that's not going to work, at least here anyway, you know. Okay, so another thing that happened this week is quantum space-time was measured in a major step toward understanding the fabric of reality. And this is not the liberals' reality. This is actual reality. this is the physics of reality. So the thing is, quantum space-time is time on a subatomic level. And they basically now be able to measure it down to the smallest unit, not measurable, but apparently the smallest unit that actually exists. Now, I don't know off the top of my head. I read this. I can't remember exactly how small that is. It's pretty fun. Let's just say that, okay? So that's the real amazing thing. They've actually got it down to the actual subatomic level. So, and along with that, they've also, and this is completely separate, this week too, they finally measured quantum gravity on a quantum scale. Now, what? Okay, so you know about gravity because you're stuck on the Earth, right? You know, and you can't jump very, you know, that high. You can't jump as high as LeBron James because they get gravity. But gravity on a quantum level is the force of gravity on subatomic particles. So gravity is one of the four major forces of Newtonian physics, but it's always been considered by far the weakest one. And the reason you're stuck on Earth is because the Earth is fucking huge. That's the reason, you know? If you can think about the fact that there's gravity exists between two molecules, and it does, gravity is also what keeps the electrons going around the protons and the neutrons. That's gravity. It's an extremely weak force, but they finally did measure it on that level. That's kind of fascinating, too. Now, that's both of these things regarding quantum space-time and quantum gravity are going to be huge deals in the future, because this is where science is going to be going. I'll tell you, folks. You know, we've talked about quantum mechanics and quantum physics here before. It makes no sense on any conventional level. None of it does. It's completely non-intuitive. It's completely non-intuitive. It just comes off as bullshit. I've had friends who tell me, educated people who went to college, who say this is crap. It's not crap. No, this is solidly scientifically studied stuff. You know, but it does make no sense. It's really weird. So, and finally, I just thought you guys would, I know you're interested in this, and that is, this was in the New York Post. Here's the headline. Does size matter? Age-old penis debate finally settled in a groundbreaking study. First of all, do you need a groundbreaking study? Do you need it? I don't know if you need it. They studied 55,000 men, which is, okay, that's large. You got a large size, and they're measuring penis size. Got that? Okay. So what they determined is that over the last 40 years, the American penis size has grown about 25%, which surprised the shit out of them, because I don't know if you follow this. Everything else about male hormones has gone to hell. You know, men producing significantly less testosterone than they were 40, 50 years ago here in the United States. And they don't know why. They know it has to do with chemicals in our food or atmosphere. They do not know why. So they were shocked when this came out, the fact that penis size is actually growing, even though everything else about male hormones isn't. And they also they say they don't think that's necessarily good, because they wonder if that has something to do with intake of hormones and or pollutants or something. You know, it does not make any sense. And so, of course, they also decided to study what women thought about penis size, and it turns out, guys, I just thought you'd want to know, length doesn't matter, only girth does. that's what they determined. Thickness matters, length doesn't. So there you go. So don't tell me you didn't learn anything tonight. Yeah, okay, good times, huh? All right, so here's the deal. First of all, we did get a call. I'm going to point this out again. I said this at the top of the show. I won't take your call anymore if you have a blocked number. And somebody called with a blocked number, and I got rid of it. I got rid of their phone call. I won't do that. So if you want to call in, we got to be able to see your number on the screen. Okay. All right. Got that. All right. So now I'm taking the rest of this week off. That would be tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. We're coming back next Monday, which is March 5th, if I'm correct. So, and that'll be Monologue Monday. I'm going to, because I have too much news to plow through for the week. We have a guest on Tuesday, and I can't remember offhand. I should have wrote this down. I know Jeff Meyer's coming on Wednesday. On Thursday, it's a State of the Union, Biden's State of the Union address, and we're going to have a panel right afterwards, which means we'll probably be starting about an hour earlier, probably at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. That's next Thursday. Not this coming Thursday. That's March 7th. So that's what we got going on here. I'm going to use the next 3 days. I got a whole bunch of work to catch up on. I know you don't care. I don't blame you for not caring either. But I do want to thank you for watching. I mean, I mentioned this a couple nights ago. I think last Thursday I mentioned it, that we last week we broke 2,000 followers on Rumble. I want to thank you guys for that. Thank you for listening, or watching and listening on Blog Talk Radio. You can do audio. We can do audio only now. So if you want to find out where we're available, there's on our website, jimandnight.com. There is a page called Watch, and you can get that from the main menu, and that lists all the places you can see the show and all the places you can just listen to it, which is just Blog Talk Radio. You can see that there. So we'll be back. I'll be back next Monday, March 5th. So I want to thank you folks again for watching. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to you, wherever you may be. Thanks, folks. We'll see you. Have a nice week.